All right. So we will not be having our healing service tonight. I think the date for the October one is the 20th, I think. So also, it's not in the bulletin, but for those who would like to hang clothes, we are hanging clothes at Parkview this Tuesday at October the 8th at 10:30. So if you'd like to hang clothes, you can join us to hang clothes on Tuesday.
First. It's the next one.
Oh, the next one. You're right. Thank you.
Is it the next one?
You're right. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got confused.
Oh, I stay confused. So thank you for about that. So it's October the 8th, a week from Tuesday. So you have more time to plan. And then one final announcement. I'm really tickled with what Tony has worked out. But Tony, would you want to say a thing about this that we're going to put with the packages?
Yeah, so one of the things that I got out of the workshop was putting something into the box that's personal. So I plagiarized some of the things that we received from the workshop and put it into a little format. And the plan is to get them printed on a label stock, four per sheet, and then have them in here, and you can take them home and you can write a little note on the back of it, and then what we'll do is we'll break it apart, and that will be the last thing put in the shoebox when we do the packing. So probably in a couple of weeks we'll have those back there and you start, you know, putting a note on it, you know, whatever you need to do, and then we'll put them in the box.
So Tony made copies of this, rough copies for us. Please take it, look it over. I read it. I thought it was quite good. If you've got
any suggestions, any other wording, you know, we're not final on it yet. It's just something I came up with and had some really good suggestions, and I've incorporated those.
Great. So we appreciate the work everyone's been doing on that, so thank you, Tom. Any other announcements? Yes, ma'am.
Next Saturday, October the 5th, we'll be the Out of Darkness Walk. And anybody that wants to participate in that walk, the registration is at 9 o'clock, and I think actual walk will be starting at 10. It will be at Pickview Park again this year.
Okay.
And hopefully we'll have sunshine.
So the Out of Darkness Suicide Walk is this Saturday, October the 5th, 9 a.m. It is registration. It's at Pickview Park on Old Forest, off of Old Forest Road. And if you have any more questions, you can see Ms. Martha. Thank you, ma'am. Any other announcements? Let's move to prayer requests. And I'd like to start by saying, because it's a visible and present prayer praise, it is so good to see Gwen Miller back with us this morning. We are tickled to have you here, Gwen, and it's so good to have you. We've missed you. So thank you for being here. I have a bunch of other prayer requests and updates. Agnes is doing well. She's home. Getting back to her activities, which you can imagine that Agnes would, and she's doing quite well. So thank you for your prayers. Keep Ruth in your prayers. Her surgery is this Tuesday. She is scheduled to be the first one. She has to be there at 5, so we don't know what time is actual surgery. But please keep her in prayer, and I'll keep you posted. Also want to pray for, a lot of us know Ron Driscoll, good friends with Calvin Ashwell. Ron had a heart attack a week ago. He's coming along, but let's keep Ron in prayer. And another good friend of both Calvin and Ron, Dan Schmidt. Dan's wife was diagnosed with cancer and died within a week period. Her name was Mary Kay. So let's keep Dan and their family in prayer. Two others I have, and then I'll open it up, is we want to keep Katie in prayer. She is having a real pain with her Achilles tendon, so just keep Katie in prayer. And then also, we've lifted them up many times, but I don't know all the details, but let's keep Colin Griffin in our prayers, Webb's nephew and Tom's nephew. Let's just keep them in prayer. He's having some difficulties again and maybe and just needs our prayers. So let's just keep Colin and all in prayer. Any others that you have that you'd like to highlight or lift up? Yes, Tony?
Yeah, my sister Terry, she had a knee replacement surgery on Wednesday, and she is in terrible pain. So,
some of you can attest to how difficult knee pain can be. So there are a lot of sympathetic prayers that will be going up. So let's keep Terry in prayer. Let's keep Barbara in prayer. Barbara Smith is her, seems to be winding down. So let's keep all in prayer. Thank you, Tony. Gwen. So let's keep Brenda. Did she take Mike's name? She's Brenda Miller?
Yes.
So let's keep Brenda Miller in our prayers. Thank you. Mom?
Greg.
Okay. Let's keep Greg in our prayers. Any others? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, I forgot one. I just saw I've written it down, but I've written it down at the wrong place. And I asked Al Hill to give a praise. And list of all these things we're praying for, we need to be uplifted to know that God is at work in our midst. And you know that we've just tried to lift up Al in prayer as he's for many decades worked in the prison population. And he has something that's happened and is happening tonight with the prison, I think is really exciting. And I asked him if he would share just a few minutes about that. Would you do that, Al?
Yeah. This past Monday, the 23rd, at Lunenburg Correctional Center, we held two baptismal services. We baptized 22 men who affirmed their faith in Jesus Christ and affirmed their reception and acceptance of Christ's sacrifice on the cross to atone for their sins. Tonight, at our weekly service, a large number of these men will get up and give their testimony of what led them to this decision. And thank you for all your prayers and support.
Well, we praise God for how He's at work. He truly is. And keep that in prayer, not only this morning, but lift it up this evening, because that should be powerful. Now let us go to prayer. Our gracious Lord, we do come to you, for you are not a static clockmaker that just created all of this and put it in motion and wiped your hands of it. But you are the intimate, dynamic, always active God who providentially continues to care for each and every situation, and you are working all things to the glory of your will. And we just thank you that we prayed to the one who is sovereign. We thank you that we pray to the one who truly is the creative spirit at work in our life and in our world. So we pray with confidence, knowing that you will work, maybe not in the ways that we would like it to be, but you are working, and you are working all things according to your plan. We lift those up that have been mentioned. We think of Agnes, and we thank you of how well it went, and continue to strengthen Agnes in her recovery. Be with Ruth even now as she's preparing for surgery, and may her body be receptive. Strengthen Glenn, encourage him, and just may the surgery on Tuesday go well. We pray the same for Terry, as she's having surgery on Wednesday. May that go well. We pray even now that you'll just prepare her body for the procedure. We pray, thank you for your watch care over Ron as he had his heart attack. Continue to be with him and Trish. May they just be upheld and strengthened. We pray that you would draw close to Dan and be with his family and the loss of Mary Kay. Just help them to know your presence in a special way with them. We pray that you would be with Barbara Smith as her walk on this temporal plane is winding down. May the transition, which we know is in your hands, be smooth and peaceful. Strengthen her family. We pray that you would be with Greg. Just uphold him and continue to be with the treatments that they might be effective. We pray that you'd be with Brenda. May the MRI show some results that they'll be able to make some corrections, some adjustments, and know what the prognosis should be for her to be restored to full health. We thank you for the way you are working in the lives of these men at Lunenburg, in the church there that's housed there. We know that no bar, no wall keeps you out, that you are freely at work, and you can liberate, and you do liberate. We just thank you for these men that have been brought to just a saving knowledge of Christ and have pledged their lives to him through baptism. And now we pray that tonight that service will be meaningful, not only for them to be able to confess their faith, but for the hearers and listeners. We thank you for Al and others that work so diligently in a difficult situation, being tools of the Spirit. And we just pray the Spirit will flow tonight. We pray that you'd be with Katie. We pray that there'll be some relief to her Achilles. And we lift up Colin. We lift up him, knowing that you are patient and gracious with us all. We know that in our own lives. And we pray that you will just bring the right people, the right circumstances, the right situation that will enable Colin to begin making choices that would be in his best interest, and one that is his father you would desire to see him see. Choose, for you desire nothing more than that your children walk in truth. We thank you that we can gather today and not only bring our prayers, but we can bring our praise to the only sovereign God, the Lord and Savior of us all. In your holy name we pray. Amen. If you'll look with me on the front, we gather in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your path. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait. Amen. If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions.
Wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin.
Create in us a clean heart, O God, and grow anew the right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with the willing spirit.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. You'll notice that our call to worship and the text for the sermon is on the insert that stands alone from the other lections. We will use Psalm 91 to call each to worship. Then we'll stand and we will worship, singing, "A mighty fortress is our God." He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty.
I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust.
Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence.
He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His fruit shall be your shield and buckler.
You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day.
Nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday.
1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you.
Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked.
Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place.
No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling.
For he shall give his angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways.
In their hands shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the sun.
You shall tread upon the lion and upon the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot.
Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name.
He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him.
With my own life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Thank you. First reading is from Numbers 11, 4 to 6, 10 through 16, and 24 to 29. The rabble that was among the Israelites had a strong craving, and the people of Israel also wept again and said, "Oh, that we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt that cost nothing, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our strength is dried up, and there's nothing at all but this manna to look at." Moses heard the people weeping throughout their clans, everyone at the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord blazed hotly, and Moses was displeased. Moses said to the Lord, "Why have you dealt ill with your servant? And why have I not found favor in your sight, that you lay the burden of all this people on me? Did I conceive all this people? Did I give them birth that you should say to me, 'Carry them in your bosom as a nurse carries a nursing child,' to the land that you swore to give their fathers? Where am I to get meat to give to all these people? For they weep before me and say, 'Give us meat that we may eat.' I am not able to carry all this people alone. The burden is too heavy for me. If you will treat me like this, kill me at once. If I find favor in your sight, that I may not see my wretchedness." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Gather for me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them to the tent of meeting, and let them take their stand there with you." So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord. And he gathered 70 men of the elders of the people and placed them around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him, and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And as soon as the spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they did not continue doing it. Now two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad, and the spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent. And so they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." And Joshua, the son of Nun, the assistant of Moses from his youth, said, "My lord Moses, stop them." But Moses said to him, "Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his spirit on them." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
merciful goodness, keep us from all things that may hurt us, that we, being ready both in body and soul, may cheerfully accomplish those things that you would have us do. Grant this, we pray, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And as your children, we are bold to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Second reading is James chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wanderings will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Thus saith the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. exalted above all names, in heaven and on earth, we give you praise. Amen.
Gospel reading is Mark chapter 9, verses 38 through 50. John said to him, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him, because he was not following us. But Jesus said, 'Do not stop him, for no one who does a mighty work in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. For the one who is not against us is for us. For truly I say to you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ will by no means lose his reward. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. And if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than with two hands to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than with two feet to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, how will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. Thus saith the Lord."
Praise be to the name of Christ. You may be seated. Just a personal note before I bring the sermon, I want to thank everyone for their cards and texts and calls and gifts celebrating my reaching the Social Security age of 62 this year. And I appreciate your love and kindness in reaching out. And I have to say, no gift really touched me more than the gift that Mona gave me. You don't know this, but I do. She picked my favorite hymns from the prelude through the final hymn, and I appreciate that. And they're my favorite hymns for a reason. I appreciate that. And Jen, don't worry about stumbling. I forget the words of the Lord's Prayer all the time. So we're all good. All right, brothers and sisters, we're going to look at Psalm 91. And given the time, we might do half of it, and I'll do the other half next week. Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. My hero in life as a youngster, still the greatest man I ever knew, and the one I'm named for, was my grandfather. And I remember many things that he would say, and they mean more to me now than upon first hearing. And some of them you know, because I tend to repeat myself a lot. And if I like something, I say it often. And one of the things that my grandfather used to always say is, "I don't make enough money to buy cheap tools." The implication being, you need to know what you can rely on. In the long run, it's not best to try to skimp along. You want things you can count on. You want things that you know are reliable. That's why I drive a Ford, Chevy, and not a Ford. You want things you can count on. You want things that when you go to turn it on, it's going to start. When you go to sit down in it, it's going to hold. You want things that work, that you can rely on. We live by trust, even if we don't have Christian faith. Everything we do is an act of faith. You go to a restaurant, you're expressing a great deal of faith. You go to a pharmacist, you're expressing faith. You allow your mechanic to work on your vehicle, you're expressing faith. You board an airline, you've got a whole lot of faith. Everything we do, we are relying on others. Most of the time, that serves us well. But when it comes to eternal issues, we better make sure we're relying on something or someone that holds. The worst stadium disaster that ever happened, the biggest collapse, and we've had collapses, we know about bridges that collapse and buildings that collapse. The worst one in recorded history happened 3 years before Jesus began his ministry in 27 AD. Tiberius, who had been the emperor, he made a prohibition because he thought that people were getting too amused. He made a prohibition against the gladiatorial games. You know, the games where they go and watch the gladiators do their stuff. Well, he thought the people were spending too much time in amusement, so he prohibited it. Well, much like the prohibition of our own country, the people rebelled against that. So eventually Tiberius gave in and said, okay, you can have your games again. And there was one entrepreneur, Attalus, and he thought, I'm going to build a coliseum, I'm going to build a stadium, and I'm going to build it quick, and I'm going to fill it up, and I'm going to make a bunch of money. So in a little town called Fidenia, which is about 5 miles north of Rome, he constructed a stadium. And on the opening day of the gladiatorial games, they had 50,000 people gathered in that stadium. But because he was an entrepreneur, he was more concerned about making a profit than he was making a secure foundation. And he used cheap products and unskilled labor, and he did it quickly, and it collapsed. And 20,000 people that day died under the weight of the other 30,000. It's important to know what you can trust. In our passage today, in Psalms 91, if you look at the insert, it's all about God being our refuge, a refuge that we can count on. The word refuge is used 3 times, but synonyms to refuge or the same thought is used over and over. We read in Psalm 91 as we went through that responsive reading of him being our shelter and our shadow and our fortress and our dwelling place, our shield, our wings that we hide under. As I've told you before, there's a hermeneutical or biblical interpretive principle of the law of first mention. You look at when something is mentioned for the first time, and it influences the way it's used the subsequent times. The first time the word refuge is used in Psalms, it's used in Psalm 2, and it's put in a beatitude. And it says, blessed are they who have their refuge in him. Blessed are they who have their refuge in him. And I'm going to look at Psalm 91 because it's all about God being a mighty fortress, a refuge, something that we can find shelter and comfort in. And there are 3 components of that I'd like to look at in Psalm 91. The first thing we see in verses 1 and 2, we are to trust God, trust the Lord as our Savior. Look at 1 and 2 again. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. He is our salvation. We abide under his shadow. Now, we know the word abide just means to dwell continually. But let me say that when you abide under the shadow, it's not so much the way we think of shadows. When we think of shadows, like yesterday, It was one of those days that's typical for September and October, where it was hot in the sun, but you could move into the shade and it would be cool. And we think of shade as something that is pleasant. That's not the way it's being used here. The way it's being used here is being in the shadow or of this king, being in the, if you allow me to say it, being on the coattail of the king. You ever known anyone in work or in other environments that because they hitched their wagon to a particular star, they sort of got preferential treatment? They just were like the teacher's pet or the favored one, and they sort of got an unfair advantage because they were well favored by that individual. Now, most of us who aren't the teacher's pet or the one that's the favored employee, we sort of resent that, don't we? We don't like, it seems unfair. Well, what the psalmist is saying, and what is a wonderful truth, is the truth is you are the teacher's pet. You are God's favored one. Your destiny, my destiny, for we are in Him, is tied to Him. And we hide behind the Lord. That's why He's our refuge. The psalmist said this, I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. We hide behind the Lord. I remember an incident years ago. I'm not much of a fighter. I hadn't been in maybe a couple fights in my life. But I remember one, and it really wasn't a fight. There was this older guy that was picking on my younger brother. And, you know, I thought, this isn't right. And my brother Neil would come home and complain about it. And I thought, you know, I'm going to take care of that. Well, the next day after school, I went, and this guy was in the hallway, and I just picked him up by the collar and put him up and said, don't you ever do that again to my brother. Now, don't be too impressed. He was only in kindergarten. So he may have been a little older than that. But Neil was behind me. And guess what Neil was doing behind me while I was telling him, you're not going to touch him again. He was grinning ear to ear. Brothers and sisters, what the scripture promises, what the psalmist is saying here, is when we take the Lord as our refuge, we don't have to fight our battles. He takes those things that we're so scared of, slams it up against the wall, and says, you're not going to touch, as the gospel said, one of the least of these, my children. So instead of worry, we can grin ear to ear. For the Lord is our refuge, our Savior. The second thing we see, beginning in verse 3, is we trust in the Lord to be our safety. Our safety. In particular, I'd like you to look at verse 5. For the Lord is our safety. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day. Let me state here as a point, it's important. There are 19 times in this psalm that the word you is used. I point out often in the New Testament, because it's true, that in the New Testament, most of the time that the word you is used, it's in the plural. It's talking about the church, all of you. This in the Hebrew is in the singular, meaning, we need to understand the particular nature of God's care. It's coming to each one of you individually. Psalm 91 is as if God is saying this to you personally. And He says, you shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day. Now this is not just a pure parallelism. It's saying two different things. There are two things that we, because we're protected under his wings, find our safety. We do not need to be afraid of those things, the errors that come by night, nor those that come by day. And what that is distinguishing is the terror that comes at night. And if you notice, it doesn't say arrows that come by night. It says terror. We don't even know what it is. Those terrors that come by night are those things in life that we don't see coming. Those things that we can't predict. Those things that hit us out of the blue. Those phone calls that rock us. We're protected from those things that we don't see coming. So we don't have to worry about the future. We don't have to live in anxiety and worry. We know that even though I don't know what the next phone call holds, my refuge does. Even though I don't know how things will turn out in the next test or the next surgery, I know that the one who I have found refuge in knows. And I don't have to be fearful of that. I'm protected by those terrors that come at night. But I'm also protected from those arrows that come from the day. There are those threats we can see for. We know it's coming. We know it's coming. We know we can see it coming. We may not know when it's going to hit, but we see it's coming. And we live in that anxiety. And God says, if you take your refuge in me, I will be your safety, not only from those terrors you don't know are coming, but from the anxiety that comes from those things you see coming. And you can be protected from both of those. The other thing it says here about our safety is it keeps us, if you look in verse 7, it keeps us from falling. 1,000 may fall on your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. We will not fall. Jesus promised in John 10 that those that are placed in my hand, I will hold. God is not going to lose anyone. He's not going to lose you. You are not going to fall. You say, well, wait a minute, I've fallen a lot in my life. Well, let me give you another simple illustration that helps me and it might help you. You can fall, but you're falling if you are finding refuge in a greater strength. Doesn't determine the outcome of the events. Let me give you, again, simple but to me effective illustration. If I board a plane leaving Kennedy, going to Heathrow, and I'm on that plane, and let's say I'm just particularly clumsy that night, or I've had a Benadryl, or whatever. I wake up in the middle of the night, and I go to walk the aisle, and I fall. Have I done anything that affects my ultimate destination? Not at all. I can fall 100 times. I can fall 1,000 times on that plane. But it doesn't affect my ultimate destination because my trust is placed in a greater. In the same way, when we take our refuge in the one who cannot fail, he will keep us from ultimately falling. As the Proverbs would say, when we fall, we just simply get up again. And then he tells us in verse 9 and 11 through 11, he's going to give angels charge over us. It just so happens that today is a day that the church in the history of its liturgical calendar celebrates Saint Michael and all the angels. And it is true, God has given angels to support us. And fortunately, even though it's a great movie, it's terrible theology, fortunately, the angel guarding you, the angel assigned to you, is far more competent than Clarence and it's a wonderful life. When angels showed up in Scripture, you know, they never, the reaction is never that they're cute. The reaction is never that they're cuddly. When angels showed up, the first thing they have to say is, "Fear not," because they're powerful and they're mighty, and you're not fighting your battle. You've sought refuge in God, and He has appointed His angels to support you. And then the final thing is that God is not only as our refuge, our salvation, and our safety, and this is probably the most important one, He's our satisfaction. Look in verse 14. In verse 14, He says that because He has set His love upon me. Let me just tell you, God has an overriding commitment. God has an overriding commitment to protect those who've entrusted themselves to Him. Are these little ones. We look at these phrases in these verses. He says, "I will deliver, I will protect, I will answer, I will save, I will honor, I will satisfy, and I will promote." And it's all because of what we read in verse 14. He holds to me, holds fast to me in love. He longs for you. He desires you. Have you ever truly desired something where you couldn't stop thinking about it? Where you were obsessing over it? Have you ever were so in love with something that you weren't going to quit until you apprehended it? You know, Vincent van Gogh spoke about the lust for life. Well, the Hebrew word here is, could be translated that. Just like some hunger for life and some hunger for other things, we need to understand, because our peace is contingent upon it. God is not just in some transactional relationship with us. God intensely desires to be close to you. And with that is that comfort of knowing that His presence is our strength. So we run to Him. We run to Him. And when we run to Him, we run to a tower, a refuge. I saved the definition for tower till the end. A tower is that which is erected to be set safely and securely on high, to be too high for capture. To be too high for capture. We are with the Lord. We are protected. He truly is our refuge. Our response is to simply and humbly trust in the refuge that will never fail. Amen. Let us stand and confess our faith together, using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into heaven. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
If you'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is my right to give our thanks and praise.
Maker and Redeemer of all, we lift our hearts to thank you, because you open our ears to hear your voice and release our tongue to sing your praise. You created the earth as a place of encounter between you and your creatures. You called your people from slavery and wilderness to covenant and abundant life. You gave your children manna to share, and from the crumbs that fell from their table, you made a banquet to welcome the Gentiles to the joy of your companionship. You made the body of your crucified and risen Son the altar of your mercy and of our redemption. And so we zealously proclaim the triumphs of your grace, joining with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven in the hymn of your eternal glory.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna. Life-giving God, you share your bread with the poor, and you make this banquet the place where, in the power of your Spirit, you are united as one body in your Son. Make this meal a moment of reconciliation between you and your people, and let those who share in it be ambassadors of reconciliation within this wounded world. Send your Holy Spirit upon this bread and this cup, that they may be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Lord and Savior, who at supper with his disciples took the bread, blessed it, gave it to them, broke it, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Great is the mystery of faith.
Christ is dying. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
God of the afflicted, you have chosen the poor in the world to be rich in faith and to be heirs of the kingdom that you have promised to those who love you. Make your church rich as you are rich, in compassion and mercy, in wisdom and grace. And make your people poor as you are poor, in sharing the calamity of those who endure injustice, and knowing the pain of all who live with the world's anger. Take away the mask of poverty that all may see with joy, the riches of those the world calls poor, and remove the mask of wealth that all may see with love the poverty of those the world calls rich. Hasten the day when your gentle mercy triumphs over the world's harsh judgment, and all find a place at the feast of your kingdom, ever one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Brothers and sisters, as we were singing that second hymn, the call to prayer, "As the deer panteth for the water," and I was thinking of how much I truly seek, imperfectly, to love the Lord. And as I was thinking that, I was hit several times with a non-religious song, and I'm not saying that God serenaded it to me, but it just came to me. It was the words of Hank Williams Sr. song. That song goes, "If you only loved me half as much as I loved you." And as I was sitting there thinking, yeah, we may desire the Lord. We may seek his kingdom. We may want to be his children. But his love for us, his absolute commitment to uphold us, his desire to be present with us, is far more than double
what we bring to the table. His love for us is amazing. Amazing to the point that he sent his son to die for each and every one of us. So I invite all those who love our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in sincerity and truth, to come to receive this gift that was given to us, this Passover lamb. The feast is spread. Let us keep the feast.
Thank you.
Our Father, we rely upon you. Regardless of the times or the circumstances, we rely on you. In the midst of constant change, we rely on you. Surrounded by what seems to be losses and setbacks, we rely on you. We run to you. We run to your holy name as our strong tower. And we find in you a refuge that not only will stand through this life, but will hold us in good stead through all eternity. So we praise your holy name. And we find our joy being in your presence. In the name of the one who makes it all possible, we pray. Amen. Let us stand and close our worship, singing, as I've said before, one who wrote a hymn thinking it would be a perfect hymn to sing every Sunday. We like it so well, we only sing it at Christmas, but thanks to Mona, we're going to sing it today. Hymn 181, Joy to the World. To present you faultless before the throne, to him who alone is sovereign and Lord, to be all glory and majesty, Lord and honor, both now and forevermore. Amen. The service is over. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord. Thanks be to God.